Today's episode is sponsored by Rev, the productivity powerhouse for content creators, journalists, market researchers, and more. Capture audio from anywhere, get AI-powered summaries and quotes, and leave security worries behind with Rev. Whether you're on the go or in the office, Rev's got you covered. Discover more at rev.com. Hi, I'm Kendall Kelton, and I'm your host today on The Rough Draft. Featuring honest conversations with folks from across the creative industry, The Rough Draft explores the creative process, tools, and resources used by some of the best in the business. From journalists to content creators and business leaders, we shed light on what it looks like to break into the industry, make mistakes, collaborate with others, and the essential tools that help us all along the way. This week, I'm super excited to be talking with Nadia Hamdan, a producer for the Emmy and Murrow Award-winning investigative reporting podcast and public radio show, Reveal. Nadia has worked on a range of investigative stories about the post-Roe healthcare crisis, the impacts of U.S. gun laws, and that modern-day debate around reparations. On today's episode, Nadia walks us through how she produced her most recent three-part series on Black reparations called 40 Acres and a Lie. All right. Nadia, your series, which took 2 years to bring to life, 40 Acres and a Lie, took a deep look at some of the unfulfilled promises made to Black Americans in our history. I listened to the three episodes, and you could tell it was very tough. No matter where you sat on the issue, it was a very difficult subject for people to talk about. So what were the key questions driving your investigation, and how did you get started on that particular show?
So this was a show that was brought to us by a partner. And so it was one of those moments where our editors came forward and said, you know, the Center for Public Integrity, which, speaking of the state of the industry, no longer exists, actually folded while we were doing this project. So these are incredible reporters. Anyone listening, like, reach out to them. They had come to us saying, you know, one of our reporters has been like unpacking this history and is learning that there are these physical land titles that exist in, you know, the deep dark corners of the National Archives, and no one's really seen them and nobody really understands them. But it just shows that this history that we all thought we kind of understood is actually so much more than we thought. And, you know, the minute I read it, I was like, I want to be the producer. Like, I don't know. There was just like instinctual, my hand went up immediately and I was like, this is fascinating. You know, I think as a reporter during George Floyd, there was a lot of discussions in newsrooms about covering more Black stories and understanding the Black experience in a deeper way. And I felt like this was an opportunity to do that because my understanding of 40 Acres and a Mule was minimal, to say the least. And yeah, so this
same before I listened to this.
Yeah. And that's a shame, right? That's a shame. In the Black community, it's a little bit, obviously, a little more prominent, but like we all should know this. This is all our history. But yeah, I was brought on as the producer, and it took so long because what they were doing was really labor intensive, right? Like they were doing work that historians do. They were trying to unpack and go through millions of documents. So it was kind of just a really long process for them to get to a point where they finally were like, okay, this is the final number I think we can get to before we have to just start making this thing. And then we had to start making the thing, and it's a story about documents. And so then that the next step was everyone had to start looking into genealogies and tracing the names of the formerly enslaved to actual living descendants, those that may have received 40 acres through the program. You know, it was a lot of work, and we really struggled to find people, which is another really insidious part of slavery, is that these records are gone and it's really hard to make those connections. And, but we were able to find people, and then we had to construct a story out of it. And that was a really hard thing to do. Like it was really hard.
You went into the field to do reporting. You were multiple places, but I'll call out the Carolinas and Georgia specifically. Mm-hmm.
And doing that brings about its own set of challenges, especially if you're trying to find people, go meeting them where they are. Mm. So what was that like? And how did that experience for you kind of shape where you took the story?
This is the part that I feel really grateful for in my job, and also grateful to the people at CPI who really trusted us in this process and welcomed me along every step of the way and wanted me to co-report it with them. Getting to report in the field is the thing that lifts me up in this job. The thing that is so special about getting to be a journalist and a producer is I get to meet people that I otherwise probably never would have met. And then I get to not only meet them, but like talk to them about really intimate stuff, you know, really personal stuff, really fraught stuff. It's a story about land and it's a story about descendants. And I'm getting to walk the land with that descendant. It's just, it's a beautiful experience. And it's one that I just really treasure. And it does change things for you. Like part of what I wanted to try to do with those three episodes, when we're talking about collecting tape, like, you know, I was trying to collect as much sound of the cicadas, because when you're out there, it's so hot and you feel like the sound of it, it's like those cicada sounds are just all around you, or the water is nearby, or whatever kind of the nature around you is so present. And you're kind of feeling that as you're talking to this person about this land that was once theirs or taken from them. So then I was like, well, I want people to kind of try and be here with me, right? And, you know, because we had to pack so much in, I didn't get as much of that in the show as I would have liked, of just letting people sit and feel that, because to me it was so profound. That's one example of just kind of like you get immersed and you realize the gravity of what it is you're talking about. And it just, and having people open up to you and then get so emotional.
Yeah.
And you realize
there were a few times in the show where people are like, I gotta stop.
Yeah.
Totally. And that alone just reflects the power of what you were trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's one line that I wrote that I was really proud of, because I was trying to figure out how to end the first episode because there had been so much emotion. And this goes back to what it means to be a producer, I think, that you're really paying attention. And you're kind of trying to notice as much as you can to mm-hmm. try and convey something, right? So this is an example of that. Like you said, multiple times through our reporting, people got so emotional, whether it be angry and frustrated or just completely sad. And they asked us to turn the mic off, right? Which doesn't happen a ton, to be honest, in my business. Like I don't remember a ton of times where someone was like so overwhelmed by what we were discussing that they asked me to turn the mic off. And for that to happen three separate times in our reporting, I felt like was notable, right? Like, so I was like, well, one, yeah. I know I want to showcase that they asked us to turn the mic off, because I do think that that as a reporter is pertinent to this discussion, right? Because yeah. the reason they're asking us to turn it off is because they're struggling to talk about this. And then I was thinking to myself, you know, so many people are like, oh, you're talking about slavery. It's done and gone. This was so long ago. Let it go. And so when I was thinking about how to end the show, and, you know, we had just come out of another person asking to turn the mic off because he was getting emotional and starting to cry, I was just like, you know, if it's still this hard to talk about, it means there's still so much more to say. I'm not trying to be biased. I think that is just like, that is objectively what I am witnessing. Those are the kinds of things I feel like you're trying to do as a producer, is really translate that as best you can, because you're the one walking that path with that descendant. You're the one in Georgia sweating profusely, you know, walking through fields in 110 degree weather. Like, you are trying to get a sense for the listener to like then walk away with something.
I guess reflecting on this series, you'd mentioned you were, you know, it's one you're proud of, and you were proud of kind of honing in on certain moments. What lessons do you think you have walked away with after those 2 years that will shape your future work or future pieces that you may come across?
Like, it just ended this summer. So it's like, I feel like I'm slowly piecing that together because I clearly learned. I mean, it was such a formative. I think anyone who ever works on something this big in their career for the first time is going to walk away with so many lessons for the next one.
And you might still be in it.
I feel like, yeah, a part of me feels like I'm not fully I haven't fully extricated myself from it yet, you know? And I think sometimes I'm really tough on myself. I think I can get really, when I work, and this is just personally, I want it to be the best thing that ever was. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to do so. And I do think it's what makes me good. But I also think sometimes I lose sight of what story are you trying to tell? And are you telling it well? And not losing sight of the people that you've interviewed and what they have said, what I have gained from this experience, getting to talk to all the different people that I got to talk to, getting to share their stories with an audience. Like, let's be honest, NPR is a very white place with a very white audience. And I got to do 3 full episodes of all different voices from Black people from all across the spectrum. And I think like that in itself is wonderful, you know, because that's part of what we're trying to do is to just get people to step in someone else's shoes for a minute and try to empathize with their experience. Whether or not you agree, that's a different story, but at least take a moment to like live in someone else's experience for a minute. And I do feel I achieve that. And I feel like sometimes I can get too lost in what I'm producing versus just the story itself.
And what y'all are doing are bringing these stories to life for folks. Like, again, as I had mentioned earlier, I'm a bit sad with myself that I didn't quite understand the gravity of 40 acres in Emule. It's tough. And I have a lot of privilege. It's tough to have to sit with.
It is. It's uncomfortable. I felt that plenty throughout this. And I think, but the fact that you just said it gave you perspective of any kind, that's to me valuable. If in another conversation, someone brings up 40 acres and a mule and you can speak to it in some way that is true to the reality of what it was, that's a win, you know? And that's what journalism can and should do, is just have you walk away with a little bit more knowledge that makes you a little bit more empathetic to the world around you.
I think that's actually a beautiful way to kind of wrap this up. Before we go, can you please let our audience know where they could find your work, learn more about you?
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been lovely. I guess you can go to revealnews.org if you want to go online, but you can also just go to any place that you get your podcast. We're also featured on, you know, hundreds of NPR stations across the country. So if you're an avid NPR listener, you can go to your local station and see when they air Reveal, if they air Reveal. But a lot do. And so you could listen live, or you can go to my website, which is nadiahamdan.me.
We'll link those in our show notes. Well, that's it for today's episode of The Rough Draft. Be sure to rate and subscribe in order to stay up to date with the latest episodes, and visit rev.com/podcasts for even more content. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on the next episode of The Rough Draft.